In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Our Lady of Sorrows, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Is humility a good word or a bad word? Some people think that humility is a recipe for failure. But spiritually, we see it as a recipe for success. Most of the people in the world would try to tell us, no, you have to be aggressive with everything. If you really want to be successful, you've got to be like Donald Trump. You mow them down if they get in your way. You just keep going until you get what you want. There are many examples in the world of how we're going to do everything and we're never going to let anybody hold us back because we can do it on our own. In fact, to the pagans, the idea of humility being a virtue was crazy. The pagans saw that as something vile or servile. But the Jews, enlightened by God's revelation, knew better. They recognized the importance of humility. In fact, our Lord demonstrates to us constantly that we must have humility. He teaches that constantly. When St. Thomas Aquinas responds to the objection that humility can't be a virtue, he points us to the words of Jesus, "Learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart." So notice, our Lord isn't just saying, you need to be humble, but he's saying, I'm humble, and you need to be like me. Humility is not an option. It's essential. He also says, unless you become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So what is humility? A spiritual writer who, in a sense, wrote the book on the spiritual life, his name was Father Adolphe Tanqueray. His book was very popular. It was used in every seminary before about the middle of the 1960s, probably. He defines humility in this way. He says, humility is a supernatural virtue which through the self-knowledge it imparts, inclines us to reckon ourselves at our true worth and to seek self-effacement and contempt. So let's go through that slowly. Humility is a supernatural virtue. We can be humble in a very natural way. Someone who's not even a Christian can have humility. But we're speaking specifically about humility as a gift from God, a virtue that God has given to us. And through that virtue, we have self-knowledge, very important self-knowledge, which inclines us to reckon ourselves at our true worth, see ourselves as we really are, and to seek self-effacement and contempt. So humility is based on two things, truth and justice. The truth about ourselves, truth about who we really are, and then justice inclines us to act accordingly. A truly humble person will recognize himself for who he truly is and then act accordingly. We must always be aware of the fact that everything good that we have comes from God and every evil comes from us. That's a profound reality which we are not eager to accept deep down. We want to take credit for the good that we do. And yet we always have to refer the glory to God. In fact, I know that Mother Mary Gabriel has taught the sisters in the past, whenever somebody gives you a compliment on something, say, what is it? Thanks be to God? Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Now that's not just some pious little practice, some pious saying. It has a deep reality in it. Whenever something good is in me, I give credit to God. He's responsible for everything that is truly good in me. I'm responsible for all the evil that is within me, that comes from me. But if we recognize that the good comes from God, then we should praise Him for it. And that's responding accordingly, responding in justice. Justice demands that we praise God for all of the good that He has done for us and through us. Now, this does not mean that there is nothing good inside of us, absolutely speaking. There are some people who, due to either mental illness or problems in childhood or for whatever reason, they hate themselves, but not in the sense of humility. Some people who see no value in themselves whatsoever, they're constantly talking about how they're worthless. And yet that's not true. As children who are created in God's image and likeness, we have a worth just by being created by God. He has given us our value. Christ has redeemed us and given us the opportunity to be with Him forever in heaven. We have great value. There is something very good about us. And in fact, if we deny that good, then it's actually pride, because it is an affront to the gift of our being that God has given to us, which is good. And we have to recognize that. Some people who don't have that basis will see humility as just a way of tearing themselves down. And they'll think that in tearing themselves down, they're actually growing in virtue. But really, they're undermining it, because they haven't yet recognized the good that God has given to them and the good that they are just by being His creation. And so that leads to what we call false humility. False humility is a very easy trap to fall into, because all of a sudden somebody comes up to us and says, "You know, Father, you have a lovely voice. I love to hear you chant." "Oh, shucks, you know, really, I'm not that good." Is that humility? No, that's not humility. In fact, sometimes it can be us putting on a show to make us look like we're humble, because we're really proud and we want the attention. We're proud of our humility. "I'm so proud of the fact that everybody comes up and tells me how humble I am." And yet, we've missed the point. So we have to acknowledge the truth. Humility is based on truth. It's not based on some elaborate facade that we've erected. It's only based on the truth about ourselves. So what is the truth about us? That we are miserable sinners. We have committed so many sins in our lives, countless sins in our lives. Even from the moment we were conceived, we entered the world in the state of original sin. And if we've committed even one mortal sin, we deserve eternal humiliations. Just one. That's who we are, and that's the truth. I think it's dangerous when people start to think, I remember hearing, I worked for Monsignor Victor when he first came to the parish in Memphis, and he had a lot of work to do in that parish to get things back on track. And I remember the lady who taught RCIA, said that she doesn't believe in guilt. And I used to believe in guilt, you know, being Catholic and having been Jewish. And so I know a lot about guilt, but I don't believe in that anymore because of God's love. Instead, I focus on God's love. One of the greatest aspects of God's love is that He has forgiven us the guilt that we have committed. How can we see the love of God if we don't see how wretched we are on our own? How can we see that God has lifted us up from the mire if we don't acknowledge the fact that we were in the mire? There's no value in denying our guilt. There's only value in recognizing it so that we can ask the Lord for His mercy. So why would somebody not want to acknowledge their own guilt? It's a lot easier if we don't really know ourselves. It's very interesting how we often think we know other people very well, and yet we could be totally blind to ourselves. We can look at other people and maybe even become very clever at picking up on certain things about people and catching little clues as to how they think about themselves. And we can, you know, see the splinter, the speck in someone else's eye rather than the beam in our own. We can be so oblivious to our own imperfections. And that's why we have to have self-knowledge. St. Francis de Sales says that we must love our own weakness, abjection, and spiritual and human poverty. Now think about that. We must love our weakness, our abjection, and our spiritual and human poverty. And he says, don't hide it and don't pretend it's not there. Instead, love it. Why? Because it's a constant reminder of how much I need God. It should be a motivator to love God more, to seek God's grace, because I can't do it on my own. St. Bernard says we must be humble to receive God's grace. He says, and so when you perceive that you are being humiliated, look on it as the sign of a sure guarantee that grace is on the way. Now, when's the last time you felt humiliated? Try to think about the last time you felt humiliated. Did you see that as a sure sign that grace was on its way? There's a priest back home, Father Bauer, who has a cute little saying. He says, humiliation, it's not humility, but it's a good start. And isn't that true? But it's not sufficient to just be humiliated. Some people can be humiliated over and over again, and they never grow in humility. Instead, they begin to resent the person who humiliated them. And it becomes constant. It can eat them alive. How dare they do that to me? And then all of a sudden, it begins to feed their pride. But humiliation can be an opportunity for grace. In fact, it's a sure guarantee that grace is on the way if we receive it properly. St. Bernard says, it is not sufficient that one keep his self-possession by patience when he is humbled. To receive grace, one must embrace humiliations. If we don't embrace them, then they're wasted. And yet they are great opportunities to grow in humility. In fact, our Lord suffered quite a few humiliations, didn't he? We'll talk about that on Sunday morning, the humility of our Lord. So what are we going to do with all of that? It's very easy to get overwhelmed by looking at ourselves and realizing how miserable we truly are. But to grow in humility, we can't only look at ourselves. Wouldn't it be great if our whole spiritual life could be summed up in just looking at us? No, that wouldn't be great at all, would it? And yet, so many times when people want to grow in holiness, they automatically look at themselves because self-knowledge is essential, but they forget to look also at God. As the psalmist says, to you have I lifted up my eyes, you who dwell in the heavens. Dom de Lotte, one of the early abbots of the monastery of Salem in France, said that for this end, we must know what God is in himself and what he is in relation to us. And we must be aware of his presence. Our spiritual education is the fruit of a twofold looking, God looking on us and our looking to him. It has to be both. We have to be constantly aware of our own imperfections, be searching ourselves out to see those imperfections, the ones that are hidden from us that we are blind to, and yet at the same time, looking back to God. And so I want to propose to you that we look to God for two things. One is to see who he is, to help us recognize how wretched we are. But two is to also see his mercy. So let's start with the first one. If we truly look at who God is, then we are going to be struck by the fact that in comparison to him, we are nothing. Is it really necessary that any of us here really exist? One of the first things that we studied in philosophy when I was studying to become a priest is that none of us here are necessary in and of ourselves. God could have created the world without any one of us here. We're not necessary beings. The only being that is truly necessary is God. And God is completely happy just in himself. And when we look at that and we realize how absolute God is, then we realize that in comparison, we're nothing. We realize that we're truly helpless because all of us have struggled with sin and seen the sin inside of us and said, I want to overcome this. I don't want to do this anymore. And then fallen right back into it. Whether it be our pride or our jealousy, whatever it is, there's always something we struggle against and yet we fall right back into it every single time. We are helpless without God. We look at our sinfulness and we compare it to God's perfection and we realize that we are so far away from where we're supposed to be, from what God has called us to be. Our Lord said, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And when we look on the perfection of our heavenly Father, we realize the great imperfection in us. Then we must look at God from the perspective of his mercy. If we only look at our imperfections constantly, we will never really grow in our spiritual lives because we also have to recognize that God is merciful to us and wants to raise us above those imperfections. In fact, we would get to the point where we have no hope if we don't look at the mercy of God. I want to give you a couple of quotes here from the saints. St. John of the Cross said that while we are on this earth, nothing is more important to us than humility. Now, that's a strong statement. While we are on this earth, nothing is more important to us than humility. In my opinion, we shall never completely know ourselves if we don't strive to know God. By gazing at his grandeur, we get in touch with our own lowliness. By looking at his purity, we shall see our own filth. By pondering his humility, we shall see how far we are from being humble. St. Teresa of Avila says, well, now it is foolish to think that we will ever enter heaven without entering into ourselves, coming to know ourselves, reflecting on our misery and what we owe God, and begging him often for mercy. St. Catherine of Siena said, how wretched I am. John the Baptist never sinned. He was made holy in his mother's womb, yet he did such great penance. Think about the penances that John the Baptist did, feeding on locusts and wild honey out in the desert. But I have committed so many sins and have not yet even begun to acknowledge it with tears and true contrition, seeing who God is who is offended by me and who I am who offend him. And yet St. Catherine of Siena interiorized that so well and realized how much she needed humility and how much she had to strive for humility that the devil once swore, damnable woman, there is no getting at you. If I throw you down in confusion, you lift yourself up to mercy. And if I exalt you, you throw yourself down. That's a perfect recipe for holiness, isn't it? If the devil throws us down in confusion, we lift ourselves up to God's mercy. And then if the devil exalts us, we throw ourselves down because we realize that we must be humble before God. God the Father helped St. Catherine of Siena to see that she couldn't put so much emphasis on her sinfulness that she didn't remember God's mercy. He says, now I do not want her to think about her sins individually, lest her mind be contaminated by the memory of specific ugly sins. I mean that I do not want her to, nor should she, think about her sins either in general or specifically without calling to mind the blood and the greatness of my mercy. Otherwise, she will only be confounded. For if self-knowledge and the thought of sin are not seasoned with remembrance of the blood of Christ and hope for mercy, the result is bound to be confusion. Now, how many of us have really looked at ourselves long enough and hard enough at our own sinfulness that we would get anywhere close to confusion? Unfortunately, we don't want to look at ourselves that long. We don't want to see who we really are. But if we ever do look at ourselves that seriously, the way that we avoid that confusion is by looking upon the mercy of God. Then we realize how much we need His mercy. Some people think that they're perfect, and that's very unfortunate for two reasons. One, because they're not. But two, because perfect people don't need Jesus Christ. Perfect people don't need a Savior. They're already saved. But we do. And it's by realizing who we are and how sinful we really are that we realize our need for Christ as our Savior. It's only if we can see ourselves for what we truly are that we can truly allow Him to do great things in us. How else can we understand a God who became man and humbled and humiliated Himself for us if we aren't willing to humble ourselves and accept the humiliations that come in our own lives? Tonight, I encourage you to take the opportunity to think about yourself and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see myself the way that you see me. And help me to endure it. Because if we truly saw ourselves exactly the way God saw us, I think we would be terrified. Would we be able to handle it? But let us ask Him for that self-knowledge. As you do your examination of conscience, preparing for confession tomorrow, ask the Lord to help you to see yourself the way you really are, to know your faults. And rather than running from those faults, reach out to hold the hand of the Lord as He helps you to grow. Rather than getting trapped in your sinfulness and your faults, realize that Christ is there to help you through them because of His mercy. Tomorrow, we will be looking at Saint Benedict and his rule for monks and the instructions he has for his monks on the importance of the virtue of humility. And we will look and see how his instructions for monks have a lot to say to us, all of us who live out in the world. But he begins his section on humility by referring to Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me. Truly I have set my soul in peace. As a child has rest in its mother's arms, even so my soul. Humility is difficult to embrace. It's difficult to accept. But the moment we do, we experience the peace of seeing who we are and God's mercy on us. Then we can truly grow in holiness. Let's ask the Lord for the grace to be able to look at our humiliations as an opportunity for more grace. To see, as St. Bernard says, at the moment we're humiliated, it's a sure sign that God's grace is on the way. Let us ask Him to give us true compunction for our sins, to truly be sorry for what we have done to offend Him, and then to trust in His mercy all the while. Unless you become like a child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Let us ask the Lord to imprint those in our hearts, those words of His, so that we will truly grow in holiness, see ourselves as we really are, and recognize how totally dependent we are on Him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.